Pastor Daryl let me know a secret that I guess I can share with you, and that in the coming year, one of the preaching themes is going to be training and discipline. And this particular passage from 1 Timothy is a key one, where it says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." I think a lot of us are aware that physical training, our muscles, they grow when we use them. It's a strange sort of like paradox, and that if we don't use our muscles, our physical muscles, they atrophy, they get weak, and they become almost useless. It's only when we exercise that we actually get stronger. And our faith is actually no different. We must use our faith in order to grow, to become stronger in it, and also to impact others. So in this particular passage, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he gives him this connection, this kind of analogy between physical training and godliness. And we can't really talk about physical training without some kind of training montage. I don't know how many of you have seen the Rocky movies where there's always the kind of the scene where he prepares. Other movies, there's like the scene where there's the training that happens before the big competition. So we need one of those just for getting us prepared. A tough crowd. I don't know who that guy is, but in any case, physical training is good, but training in godliness is better. And we should understand the idea of discipline and training. What is academic strength? It's when we are applying our knowledge, our memory, taking facts and concepts and utilizing them. That takes discipline. To play music, it takes mastery of air and movement. Knowing notes, putting them together. It takes concentration. It takes effort. It takes discipline. Paul also writes about discipline later in Corinthians, where I don't know if you can read that, but here's what it says. He talks about this again, this kind of connection between physical and spiritual. And he says, "Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." He makes that reference to discipline, that in athletics, discipline is required to compete. It's required to do well. It's required to even be eligible to participate. And then he goes on, and he makes an analogy further in athletics with boxing. He says, "Therefore, I do not act like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." In both things, he talks about running. And I have in my mind the idea of someone running aimlessly. If you were to compete in cross country or track, there's a course. And if you have to stay on it, if you leave the course, you're disqualified. So it takes concentration. You don't have to just be fast. You have to be disciplined. Not only in your training, but then as you compete. In boxing or wrestling or some other competitive sport against another opponent, you couldn't just stand off to the side and swing away at air. You would need to compete according to the rules against that other person, against that opponent. In our faith, we need to be aware that there are things that we need to be guided by. God's word, His Spirit, and to be disciplined in that. The word discipline is hard for us sometimes. If I use the phrase to be disciplined, in a certain context, that would mean, okay, you got into trouble. You're being disciplined. No one likes that, right? No one likes being held accountable to doing something wrong. So that has a negative connotation. But in a different context, to be disciplined, it's strength. It's character. It's actually a good thing to be disciplined, to be self-disciplined. And as you probably know, discipline in the sense of not only our faith, but in other things, it's an investment. It's choosing between what you want now and what you want most. When we're disciplined, when we have self-control, we're investing in something that's better or greater than present comfort or even satisfaction. We're investing something that's longer term, right? If anyone's involved in sports, a championship, that's one game. What leads up to that championship? All the games leading up ahead of it. So it's looking ahead and knowing if I want to win a championship, I need to be disciplined along the way. Everyone knows that you couldn't go to a recital and do your best performance if you never practiced. You couldn't perform in a play or some kind of theater performance if you never practiced with anyone else. But it's all the time frame leading up to it where you must be disciplined, you must be in training to prepare for that moment. Our faith is like that. We need to be working at it, practicing our faith, living it out, putting it into practice. Now, Pastor Daryl, he encouraged me to use an analogy from football. I've coached high school football for 22 years, and those of you who've heard me speak before, I kind of reference that. And there's a great connection here that I want to make, and that is that little things matter. Little things matter. Fundamentals. In football, there's a lot of things that happen. If you've ever watched it, there's lots of things going on, lots of people running around, lots of activity, lots of actions that are taking place. But if I were to tell you this, football comes down to, and then it doesn't matter whether it's little kids, high school, college, or the professional level, it comes down to two things, blocking and tackling. Everything else you could be great at, but if your team is not good at blocking and tackling, you will lose. And to prove that point that little things matter, here's an example. I'm going to hope that this will work. If I can show this video, here's what you're going to see, and there might be some audio to it, but basically what happens is it does not matter, high school, college, or professional. There's linemen, the biggest dudes, right, who do all the work that they don't get their name in the paper. They're the guys that block for everyone else, but they are actually the most important. And here's the thing. Right.
We do this
what you're going to see here, this is a college team.
You'll see us doing steps.
These are their linemen, and this is something they do every single day. If you watch what they're going to do, they take one step. This little drill that they do this drill every single day, where they'll get in a stance, and they will go like this and back 100 times. Just this. A 6-inch step. And I'm not exaggerating to say that that is what just about every team in America does. This position, they spend over the course of a career hours doing this. You could maybe play it. And here's what they do next. They'll do a whole bunch of these.
Step drill.
Then they'll do this.
Big toe and pinky toe.
Over and over again.
Ground with that first step.
Just this.
We want hat outside. We want pad level.
He's talking through it. This is like a drill tape, but watch. Watch their feet.
Now we take that initial 6-inch big toe and pinky toe. Then that second step, we're going through the crotch. This is my left.
And then they'll go on, and then they'll do three steps.
All right.
And then they'll go to the other side.
Big toe and pinky toe.
They will spend hours, not necessarily every single consecutively in a day, but in their career, a lineman will have spent hours doing this alone.
Now we did the 6-inch.
Okay?
Then we did
and if
one,
we go
two,
to the next
now we're going
video,
to transition,
we go ahead and just like cut that off and go to the next one.
Right, now
I found
right
an example, and right, I don't know if you've watched
right
any
line,
football games this weekend or the Seahawks are playing this evening. What you're
going to
see if you pay attention is this movement right here.
Our hips with the flipper, then we're going to transition.
He talks a lot about it, so...
Now we're
so
going
then
left.
They'll go to the other side.
Left,
all that first
toe.
Part was the one right. Side, then they
second
go to the left.
Second step through the crotch. All right, second step through the crotch. Now, we're going to finish through with transitioning with our hands, finish through
can
with
go ahead.
Short chop.
Just go ahead to
wide
the next
base.
Slide.
Again, you'll see the same thing with this next
So you get the idea of how much they work at this. Now, here's what... Oh, we skipped past, but it's okay. Go back one. Yes, please. So watch this for a second. Watch their feet. The guys in the white, watch their feet.
The same side. You see everyone.
This guy talks through this, but look at their feet. So this is the Broncos, professionals, and they're doing that same thing, just moving here. And then they're speeding through it, but that's all they're doing is moving.
Other. All right, so they're all
together, just like that
right.
drill that the one guy showed.
And
so hopefully you get the idea.
Back is
you can go ahead and go to the next slide. That's fine. Does that make sense?
Tackle. So
the idea of a small little thing.
Tackle,
here's
well
a 300-pound guy. They get paid millions of dollars.
Point of attack,
and here's what they're doing.
Make
among other things, they're practicing taking a 6-inch step.
Bang it.
A 6-inch step.
Bend it back.
Then another step.
And you'll see
all
this
stuff comes down to little things
hits up
that matter. Paul goes on and he talks about some things in Timothy that I also want to point out where little things come into this idea of us being disciplined in our faith. He tells Timothy, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. He makes this connection not only from athletics to faith, but then this other one of being a soldier and talking about focus. If we're going to be disciplined in our faith, then we need to be committed. We need to be loyal. We need to be focused on Christ. And I thought of this as an analogy for this. What do we say when somebody comes to the Lord? We say they've made Jesus their Lord and their Savior. But most times, what do most people focus on? He's my Savior. He paid for my sins. He died for me. Almost like a one-time thing, which is true. He died for us once and for all. But what oftentimes we forget is that where he calls us to be followers of him, to accept him not just as our Savior for dying for us, but as our Lord that we follow, that we're committed to. Think about this. If you were to get married, young people, that's years and years away, but you can get this. Would you want your spouse to be committed on that one big day? To be loyal to you on just that one day? The big wedding, you paid lots of money, your parents were so excited about it. You had planned for it. And now this person who's going to be your spouse for the rest of your life, do you want them to just say, I do, I'll be loyal on that one day? You do, but what do you want in addition? Loyalty every day after that, correct? So when we follow Christ, it's a great and glorious day when we say, Jesus, be my Savior. I accept your payment. I want your forgiveness. But what he calls us to is then to continue, to be disciplined, to make him our Lord day after day, day after day. Anyone who has a spouse knows you need to be not only loyal, but love them day after day after day. Little days are not little things. Then Paul goes on in 2 Timothy and he says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. So a small thing for us in being disciplined is being obedient. We need to have integrity. If we know what God has called us to, even the little things make a difference. Little things matter in being disciplined and following our faith. It's a narrow path, what God calls us to. There are things that we should avoid, things that we should do. But he calls us to it, and he says, you must be disciplined. Here's the path. Not just the narrow path of he's the only way, but now that I'm following him, the narrow path is, you know what? I'm going to have to avoid some things. I'm going to have to make some different decisions sometimes. And that's where I also think this idea of little things matter. I oftentimes talk to the students at my school about this idea of little things, little decisions in following Christ. And here's an example that I use. It's sort of extreme. Do you think there's anyone who says on one day they wake up in the morning, maybe have their breakfast, and while they're eating their Cheerios says, you know what? I'm going to be a drug addict. I'm going to be addicted to meth. I'm going to live on the street because I'll have nothing. I'll be completely destitute, strung out, and homeless. No one makes that one decision. But how do they get there? 1,000 smaller decisions. Correct? Right? So either positively or negatively, we can see that example in life. Well, in our faith, maybe not so extreme, discipline and obedience is just small things. Over and over and over. It's not the big one time where you are tested that really is the life changer. It's the hundreds of little decisions where we decide, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to be obedient. Small little decisions lead to other things that make a big difference. Timothy finishes it. So he starts out with the idea of a soldier, then a competitor, and then he talks about a farmer. He says the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. So part of being disciplined in our spiritual training is effort. Now, it's not earning God's favor because we can't do that. God loves us for who we are no matter what. But in response to his love, it takes effort to love other people, to be obedient. And that takes diligence as well. It's not just effort one time. It's not one big heavy lift one day. It's the idea of over time, diligently following Christ, paying attention to his laws, his rules, his spirit that guides us. Little things over and over and over again, but staying, working, struggling sometimes. That idea of investment isn't hard to get, right? Most everyone knows that if I invest, even a small amount, but over time, what does it do? It grows, right? That's the whole idea of investment. We understand it mathematically, financially. It is the same thing in our faith. When we make a small decision to be obedient, it's an investment. When we make a small investment of saying, I'm going to follow Christ by praying today, praying for other people, those things add up. And it's over time where we see the value, and not only the value in our own lives, but the impact in other people's lives. You understand it from the standpoint of studying. Would it make any sense, those of you who are students, those of you who can remember that time of being a student, how well would you do in a high school class, let's say an AP bio class, if you just showed up for the test and did nothing else? Even if you're extremely smart, how well would you do? You would not do well, would you? You need to do the daily assignments, correct? By doing the daily assignments, you get grades in the grade book. Your score increases. You also master the skills and concepts that you need to do well on quizzes and tests. We all understand this. Our faith is not that much different. If we want to be prepared and be at our best and our most faithful and the most glorious for God in those hard, hard, life-changing moments, we need to be disciplined by practicing our faith leading up to them in smaller ways. Preparing ourselves, just like someone who trains. To be disciplined, like it says, physical training, we understand. Spiritual training, we understand more than we think. The analogy is there for us. Strengthen our spiritual muscles, myself included. I'm preaching to myself. We must be disciplined, not in the sense of being constricted or rigid to the point where we're harming ourselves or limiting ourselves or even seeing God as just a religion that we follow, but the idea of I'm going to invest graciously in my own faith so that I might grow myself and that I might have a greater impact in the world around me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the holiness in it, the wisdom in it, the guidance it brings. Thank you for your spirit that guides and directs us, that encourages us, comforts us. I pray that for all, myself included, we would be encouraged to be disciplined in our commitment to you, to be disciplined in our obedience to your word and your spirit, and to be committed to your effort, to effort that follows you, that puts our faith at work so that it might grow. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.